titled Meditation in the Spiritual Life. This was the closing address to the Naropa Institute Christian and Buddhist Meditation Conference, August 11, 1981, at the University of Colorado campus.
Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Naropa Institute, it's a great privilege and an honor to welcome His Holiness the Dalai Lama to our conference on Christian and Buddhist meditation. The Dalai Lama has been a great inspiration, in particular to Buddhists throughout the world, but in addition, we have, particularly at this conference, appreciated his role as a spokesman for the depth and integrity of all spiritual traditions. And in that sense, he represents the ideal keynote speaker for this conference, and it's with great pleasure that we welcome him tonight. Thank you.
So tonight, I will speak something about, first of all, meditation or samadhi.
First of all, if one asks what meditation is, meditation refers to a familiarizing of the mind with the object that is being meditated upon. In terms of how one accustoms or familiarizes the mind with the object, there are different types. If one speaks about meditating on compassion, this means that one's own mind is being cultivated or generated into the entity of compassion itself. Therefore, compassion is being cultivated in meditation. The mind itself, the entity of the mind itself, turns into the entity of that type of consciousness which you're cultivating. But if we speak about meditating on impermanence or meditating on selflessness, in this case, impermanence and selflessness are taken as the object of the mode of apprehension of the mind. But then there's also a type of meditation in which one makes wishes with respect to, for instance, the good qualities of a Buddha, wishing for those qualities.
Mm. 똑같다 디디도 유여선 마 이샤체니 야 가쇼르브게 샤굼도 붙이는 꿈루지.
Then there's another type of meditation called reflective meditation, in which one causes various stages and levels of the path to appear to one's mind. Then, in another way, meditation can be divided into the two types of stabilizing meditation and analytical meditation. When one cultivates shamatha, or a calm abiding of the mind, that is in general a stabilizing meditation. Whereas when one cultivates penetrative special insight, that is mainly analytical meditation. With regard to the objects of either stabilizing meditation or analytical meditation, these can be either the deep reality of things itself or can be any of these various phenomena. In general, the reality of things, that is to say their emptiness, is something that is found at the end of analysis. However, one can take emptiness as an object of stabilizing meditation once one has understood it. At this time, one is concentrating one pointedly just on emptiness without analyzing. Thus, there is stabilizing meditation and analytical meditation that is taking emptiness as the object. One can also have as the objects of either stabilizing meditation or analytical meditation any of the various types of phenomena. So then what is shamatha, the calm abiding of the mind? First one sets one's mind stably, and through the power of that stabilizing meditation, finally there is induced a bliss of, no sorry, there is induced a mental pliancy which induces a physical pliancy, which in turn induces a bliss of mental pliancy. And when these blisses of physical and mental pliancy become stable, one has a calm abiding of the mind.
Oh, yeah. Hmm? What happened? I don't know.
Thank you.
Nijaya. Anyway, laugh is good. I think that's it. You see, laugh is much better than remain like this. No question, you see, no doubt. How long is it? Any? Shared of your tongue, better. So sort of a share of his jet. Shared of your tongue, and the musician junk the tower, the guinea junk game with your salary. Oh, that D. Casual D. Simbe. D. Simba than there, huh? Casual, so sort of a share of teller. So that's so sort of a bonnet, so sort of a teller, and then how long to give that?
In special insight, in penetrative special insight, a special type of physical and mental pliancy is induced not by the power of stabilizing meditation, but by the power of analysis itself. When one attains this calm abiding of the mind, which is conjoined with the bliss of physical and mental pliancy, one attains the lowest level of the preparations for the first concentration, there being many levels of concentration and other deeper states. Then in terms of penetrative special insight, there are two types, mundane and supramundane. The mundane form of special insight is a case of viewing a subtler state as peaceful and a coarser state as gross. The supramundane special insight, in terms of a system that's common to the various vehicles, penetrates the meaning of the Four Noble Truths, whereas in terms of the higher systems, special insight is insight into emptiness. In terms of the entity of this state of the calm abiding of the mind, this is a state of mind that's achieved in common by both Buddhists and non-Buddhists, and within Buddhism between the lower and greater vehicles, and within the greater vehicle within the sutra form of it and the tantra form of it. So I will explain in brief how one achieves a calm abiding of the mind. Now, our mind in its ordinary state is scattered to all sorts of objects. Because it's scattered to so many objects, it is as if powerless. Our thought is like water that is just spread out running in every direction.
Just
as when one takes water that's running about and channelizes it in one direction, it achieves a certain force, so it is with one's mind. So if one is going to channelize the mind, how does one do this? Within the tantric system and within the system of highest yoga tantra, there are many special techniques set forth for channelizing the mind. But first of all, in terms of the the explanation for channelizing the mind as it is set forth in a general or common way. In order to stabilize the mind on an object, first one has to determine what that object is. Buddha set forth many different types of objects for various purposes, some for the sake of purifying bad emotions, some for the sake of becoming more wise and skillful, and so forth. With regard to the objects of observation which are used in order to overcome afflictions, the reason why this is done is that we are used to generating certain types or specific types, mainly a certain type of bad emotions. And since the force of those previous generations are in our mind, it's necessary to counteract that force. Therefore, for somebody who mainly is involved in desire, that person should meditate on ugliness. For instance, in the four establishments in mindfulness, this is the establishment in mindfulness of the body. Ugliness here doesn't necessarily refer to a twisted face and so forth.
You see, here ugliness means, you see, our very nature of physical, you see, the composite of blood, flesh, bone, you see, these things. So if we investigate nature of our body, you see, outside may be very beautiful, you see, very good color and very soft and solid, something like that. Anyway, you see, if you investigate what is the real nature of these things, you see, the essential thing is bone. Bone. If we, wearing an X-ray glass, then I know, I will see here, this is full of skeletons. You see, here also,
and here also a skeleton is making talk.
So you see now, investigate about the, you see, nature. Now that means the ugliness, you see, of our physical.
For somebody who mainly is involved in hatred, that person should cultivate love.
And
for a person who's mainly involved in confusion, that person should meditate on the 12 links of the dependent arising of cyclic existence. And a person who is mainly involved in pride should meditate on the various subdivisions of the constituents. When one meditates on all of these many and various subdivisions, it gets to be too many, and you start realizing that there are many things that you don't know.
Chain reaction is 정도야.
There's a chain reaction in this laughter.
Oh yeah. Da?
These are the types of objects of observation that are used in order to overcome bad emotions. But then also a person who is dominated by many conceptions, that person should meditate on following one's own breath. As I said earlier, one can also do this type of meditation observing the emptiness. It's also possible to meditate on flowers. One can also meditate on one's own mind. A Buddhist also could take as the object of observation the Buddha's body, or a Christian could meditate on Christ or on the cross. Even if the object of observation is something that could be an external object, in this case, one gets used to what a reflection of that object internally would be like, and then meditates on that, what do you say, takes as the object of observation that internal reflection of the object. So then, having identified the object, how do you set your mind on the object? First of all, one has to hear about the object, ascertain what it is, and then think about it again and again, ascertaining it through thought. First of all, for instance, if one is meditating on the body of Buddha or the body of Christ, one identifies what that body looks like, and one is to cause this to appear clearly internally. And one is to imagine it about 4 feet in front of oneself.
And
the height of the object should be about at the eye level. And one needs to meditate on it as having a nature of light and being very clear. By meditating on it as being bright, this helps to prevent laxity from arising. Then one needs to meditate on that body as being very heavy, because this helps in preventing the mind from getting excited. And as much as one can reduce the size of the object, so much does that help to withdraw the mind, channelize it. Now, when one meditates, the physical posture is important. You all know about this. I don't need to explain it. It is also possible to use as the object of observation letters or drops at certain important places inside the body. The more subtle the object is, the more it helps. Once you set the object in terms of what it is and what its size is and so forth, you are to one should keep the object exactly like that. Having caused the object to appear clearly to the mind, one needs to set one's mind or keep one's mind on that object through the power of mindfulness. When one is able to keep the object without losing it due to the power of mindfulness, that mindfulness acts as a cause of introspection. In terms of keeping the mind on the object, one needs to have two qualities of mind. One is, one has to stay on the object one pointedly. And not only must the object be clear, but the consciousness must also be very clear. The two factors that prevent these from developing in the mind are laxity and excitement. Laxity prevents the mind from developing an intensity of clarity, whereas excitement prevents the mind from becoming stable. So what is laxity? Laxity is of three types in terms of coarseness and subtlety.
Number Laxity
is a case of the mind's getting too loose, or the, what do you say, the tightness of the mind getting too loose. The cause of laxity is lethargy, and lethargy is like putting a big hat on top of the head, so sort of heaviness of mind and body. Lethargy leads to laxity, and laxity is a case of lacking the intensity of clarity of the mind. Thus, as an antidote to this, one needs to tighten the mode of apprehension of the mind. When one tightens the mind, the danger of laxity lessens, but the danger of excitement increases. Thus, as an antidote to excitement here is a scattering of the mind to an object of desire, but included here are all types of scatterings. Scattering to some other object. As an antidote to excitement, one needs to lower the level of the mode of apprehension of the mind. One holds the object by way of mindfulness, and then with introspection inspects the mind to see if it's becoming lax or excited. If it's becoming lax, then one needs to heighten the mind. If the mind is becoming excited, then one needs to lower the mode of apprehension of the mind. How to do this can only be determined through one's own experience. So then, what are the techniques for heightening the mode of apprehension of the mind or lowering it? To heighten it, one needs to think on something that one likes, that one takes joy in. That will cause the mind to heighten. To lower it, one needs to think on something that will sober the mind, such as suffering. This is how the mind is to be trained. It is, in terms of the length of the session, for a beginner, it is best to have many sessions of short length.
Uh, It
is very difficult to cultivate a fully qualified form of this meditation while living in the city in the midst of a lot of noise.
You see, for this practice, the complete isolation, you see, complete silence, tranquility is highly necessary. You see, without this, how to say, facility, it is almost impossible to achieve.
Through this, one can achieve ever greater levels of meditative stabilization, which are described in terms of 9 states of mind. I won't go into these. But then, what is the mode of procedure for developing calm abiding in tantra or mantra? Perhaps some of you were there last night when I was describing how an action tantra, what do you say, the mode of procedure in action tantra, in any case, one imagines oneself as a deity through a process called the 6 deities, and then as special techniques for developing firm meditative stabilization, one engages in the concentration called abiding in fire and abiding in sound. And then after that, there is the concentration bestowing liberation at the end of sound. The concentration bestowing liberation at the end of sound is a case of cultivating the supramundane special insight on the final nature of things. And then in Yoga Tantra, there's a special technique of meditating on a very small hand symbol or drop in, what do you say? Meditating on a very small drop. One meditates, for instance, on a crossed vajra at the level of the eyebrows, that is the size of a mustard seed. And then one imagines that from that 1, 2 are produced, and from those 2, 4, and so forth, spreading out. There are 5 Buddha lineages, and each of them has a special hand symbol, a symbol that's carried in the hand, such as a wheel or a jewel or a vajra, and one meditates a small version of these. Then in highest Yoga Tantra, there are techniques for meditating on the channels, inner energies, and drops. In highest yoga tantra, what do you say? The in highest yoga tantra, The way in which one visualizes these channels and channel centers is often laid out for the sake of specific effects being sought through meditation. There don't have to be exact physical correspondences to the way these are laid out in meditation for the effect to take place. In any case, the effects are definitely produced. One meditates on specific channel centers of drops of light or small letters. Due to meditating on these special objects in special places in the body, and due to having received initiation, and due to many other factors, these techniques serve as methods for forcefully stopping conceptuality. The reason for this is that we have many different levels of consciousness, gross and subtle. In the highest yoga tantra, one is seeking to transform the subtlest type of consciousness into a path consciousness. One is transforming it into a wisdom consciousness. When we die, we pass through these various gross and subtle levels of consciousness, finally manifesting the subtlest mind, the mind of clear light of death. When these subtler consciousnesses are generated in naturally, one is as if in a swoon and as if unconscious.
Continued at this point on side B.